Well, let's look at the Russian lead, because this is from December of last year, when there was a lot of talk then, because this has been going on for a while, about this rebuild Europe and getting ready for war by 2027 in some cases, or 2030 by other estimates. And Putin was asked about what is the possibility of that happening, and watch his response.
Even when they claim to introduce changes to Trump's proposal, we can clearly see all these changes are aimed at one thing: to block the entire peace process. They put forward demands that are absolutely unacceptable for Russia, and they know it. The goal is to later blame Russia for the end of the peace process. Therefore, if they want to return to reality, based on the situation on the ground, as they say, then by all means, we are open to that. We are not planning to fight Europe. I have said this 100 times. But if Europe suddenly decides to wage war against us and starts it, we are ready right now. There can be no doubt about that. The question is, if Europe starts a war with us, I believe that very quickly. This is not Ukraine. With Ukraine, we act in a surgical, careful way, you understand, right? It is not war in the full modern sense of the word. If Europe chooses to start a war, the situation can very quickly reach a point where there will be no one left for us to negotiate with.
Now, that last part was pretty chilling. Now, a Western ear may listen to that and they think, okay, cool, we're fine then, because we're never going to, like, you know, get to a bunch of tank divisions and start rolling across the Russian border or start attacking them, so we're fine. But it depends on the definitions, because here of late, and I'm talking even just within the last number of days, there have been a number of Russian officials. We even had Ambassador Polyansky on our show, so at the ambassadorial level, of their concern, because they're starting to interpret what the West has already done as being directly involved with this war, i.e. allowing NATO airspace to be used for drone attacks, the technology, the targeting, the intelligence, et cetera. And they say that line was already crossed. So the only thing that matters is what does Putin think. But you see what he was saying just months ago, that if he decides that line is going to be crossed, it won't be a special military operation. It'll be a war in the modern sense. What are your concerns?
No, absolutely. And can I just say, we had, I think it was yesterday, a comment from a very senior official of the Russian foreign ministry, Sergei Ryabkov, who is deputy foreign minister. And I believe that in the foreign ministry, he's second only to Lavrov himself. And Ryabkov said that the situation is now worse in terms of security, global security, than anybody can remember. There is now a real possibility of military clashes between the great nuclear powers, and that were that to happen, it could lead to catastrophe. So that is very close to, you know, what Polyansky, whose interview, by the way, I should say, I watched, and others have also been saying. They're trying to get people in the West, including, by the way, in the United States. The Russians in particular are talking a lot to the United States recently. They're trying to get people in the West to understand that they can't just go on crossing red lines, conducting direct attacks inside Russia, allowing drones to fly over their airspace in order to reach Russia, helping the Ukrainians with targeting and all of those kind of things, and imagine that the Russians won't eventually have to respond. And the Russians do have the capability to respond. As Putin said, they can respond in all kinds of ways, in very calibrated ways. But in a conflict with Europe, which would indeed have something of a quality of the start of a world war, things can escalate very quickly. And well, I think the point you were also making, Daniel, is that people should not think of war today in quite the same ways as they did in the 1940s, of great tank armies moving across, the Lunenburg Heath and all those sort of places. Wars today are fought with missiles and drones at long range and very long distance, and they can be absolutely devastating in that way too. And of course, those missiles can carry conventional explosives. They can also carry nuclear explosives as well. We've just seen a whole conflict in the Middle East, which is still unresolved as we speak. And it has been conducted at long distance in exactly that kind of way, with devastating consequences for the region involved. And of course, if we see something like that happen in Europe, then the consequences will be more devastating still.
Indeed, they will. And let's just look back at the near term potential problems, because I think these are much higher risk, because now that you have not just a suggestive, but an outright declarative threat and warning from Russia is to clear out of Kiev because something's coming. We had that headline at the first where Sergei Lavrov had a conversation with Marco Rubio, and it's reported that he told him to get your diplomats out, etc. Apparently, we said, no, we're not going to do that. And then subsequent to that, I think it was Dmitry Medvedev says the EU said it will maintain its diplomatic presence in Kiev unchanged despite Russia's warnings. Well, apparently they've got diplomats to spare and need to trim the headcount. So he seems to be talking pretty confidently like something's coming. And so let me ask you a couple of questions on that as we close here. First of all, do you take these threats seriously? And what do you think is actually coming, potentially even tonight or in the next few days?
Well, I think there will be strikes on Kiev. I don't think that we're going to see a Russian campaign to completely destroy all of Kiev, by the way. I think there's been some talk to this, but I don't think it's going to be quite that bad. But they're going to attack key buildings and key facilities, and I don't think they're going to target embassies. But the point they're making is that some of these embassy buildings are located very close to some of these places that the Russians will attack, and the possibility the diplomats could be killed is very real. And again, I think the Russians are giving these warnings, and I think it's worrying that the warnings are not being heeded, because I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever, none at all, that the Russians are indeed going to do this thing. If you read the Russian Foreign Ministry statement, they said it will happen. The decision has been made. When Lavrov talked to Rubio, the Russian readout said he was speaking on direct instructions from Putin himself. Rubio has said that Lavrov told him to pass on the warning to the President of the United States, which Rubio did. Now, simply ignoring all these warnings, acting as if nothing is going to happen, is absurdly complacent. And can I just say, it's also very strange, because I can remember that before the start of the special military operation back in February 2022, when it did look for a time as if the Russians were going to actually storm Kiev, what did the United States and all the European countries do?
Yeah.
They pulled their embassies out.
Went to Lvov.
They acted to protect their diplomats. And that is exactly what we ought to be doing in the face of these kind of threats now. It shows again the extent of the escalation in imagination and rhetoric that we now have, that when an attack on our potential attack on our diplomatic personnel is now being made by the Russians. It wasn't made by the Russians in 2022. We insist that they stay, putting their lives in danger, which is, I think, reckless and irresponsible in the extreme. I hope that eventually, when the Russian strikes do begin, which they will, that people will rethink this, and that we will have contacts with the Russians. People will tell them, can you please stop for a day or two or 3 days so that we can finally get our people out? Because I suspect that eventually that is what it will come to.
Now, I perceive, Alexander, that there, because all of these red lines, real or imagined, that were crossed over the first 4+ years, that there is just this mentality in the West that there really aren't any red lines. You say pretty clearly they're coming. They have said directly they're coming here in Kiev. But I perceive that there are still most people don't believe it, or they think it'll be like it was 2 or 3 days ago, where there'll be maybe an Oreshnik, there'll be some missiles like we've had before, so it won't be anything that big of a difference. So, but let me ask you, if it's something that's really dramatically escalated in terms of what they have done before, and it's some profound damage in here, will that wake up the West, or will that make all these people like Keir Starmer, General Grinkiewicz, Macron say, I told you they were. Now we have to ramp up even more getting ready for war. What do you think?
Well, I'm afraid, and I have to say this, at the moment, people are so invested in this whole thing about the Russians are coming, they're aggressive, that that's exactly what will happen. If there is an attack on Kiev and Western diplomats are injured or killed, well, people will say it's proof that the Russians are aggressive. In other words, we will have it whichever way it goes. The people who want confrontation will want to get it whichever way it goes. If the Russians continue to act with restraint, which I don't believe, by the way, it's we've called their bluff. If they do what they say they're going to do, it's proof that they are aggressive. In neither case will we change or revise or rethink our behavior. The worry is that because we are so stuck in thinking in this way, and we've gone so far down it now, that we can't pull back until we finally find ourselves in that genuine catastrophe, which is the one that Putin was talking about. And then, well, God help us.
See, and that's actually why I'm worried that Russia may choose to escalate into Western military environments, whether it's factories that make drones, factories that make rocket engines, anything that's used intelligence-wise to help Ukraine strike Russia. Because I've had a recent conversation with somebody who is very much on the pro on the Russian side, was arguing almost identical to what you said there in the aftermath of this, that it still won't be taken as a deterrent from the Western side. And therefore, the only thing that will is a strike against these, because otherwise they fear that there won't be any deterrence. In fact, it'll be an escalation, and they're still going to get there. And their calculation is, and I'd like your view on this as our last question here, their argument is that if we don't do anything now, and we just hit this something hard, Kiev, and they have the reaction you just articulated, is that later on, now they've had more years to build up their capabilities, then the challenge for Russia will be much higher. And so it makes sense militarily, while our arsenals are low, to hit them right now where they don't have as much to shoot back then. What do you say to that logic?
That logic absolutely exists, and that those arguments are being made in Russia today. And the fact that nobody picks up on them in the West and doesn't understand the kind of debate that is taking place in Russia is dismaying. So, I don't exclude that possibility. We must understand something. People in the West never grasp this. There is Putin himself, who is a very level-headed, very disciplined man. He has always wanted to keep the conflict limited to Ukraine. He does not want a wider conflict with Europe. He doesn't believe that it is in Russia's interest. So there is Putin. But there are a lot of other people too. He is not, contrary to what many people in the West seem to believe, the only person in Russia who has opinions and whose opinions matter. And there are many people in the military, in the economic field, in the world of journalism, in the world of academia, people like Karaganov, for example, who are arguing that the West doesn't fear us as they did during the Cold War, and they've got to learn to fear us again, because unless they do, they will just go on escalating as they have. Now, my massive instincts is to be on Putin's side with this. I mean, I have a horror of war, as we all should, as any soldier I know, every soldier I know does. Yes. I would say, keep this thing under control. But unfortunately, if people don't listen, if they talk about forming, coalitions in the kind of way that Starmer was talking, which, as I said, are inevitably going to awaken memories in Russia of previous coalitions, which are very dangerous. Well, if people just refuse to think, put themselves in the mind of the other side, then we are indeed potentially heading towards disaster.
Man, that's I hate it when you're logical and your logic is reasonable. Do you see any hope that you can offer that can say that there's enough intelligence in the West and enough arrogant people like you and some others that we know of that could maybe shift the balance of debate to where we can have some eyes open so we don't get to that point?
Yes, yes. I think this is an important thing to say. I mean, in Germany, I know that there is an active debate about these things, much more so than in Britain. And it's not just a debate which is confined to parties like the AfD, for example. I mean, within the CDU and within the SPD, there are people who are saying this is completely wrong. What are we doing? Have we lost our grip on our own senses? I mean, this is madness. We need to return to diplomacy. We need to find a way back. At the EU summit in December, those voices grew stronger. And as I said, we've had the talk about appointing a chief negotiator and all of those things. So there are counter voices in Europe, and they are getting stronger, and they do exist. And lastly, and again, very importantly, there are the Americans. I cannot imagine that the United States, which has got its problems in the Middle East at the moment and has a difficult relationship with China and all of that, wants a massive crisis in Europe at this time. I doubt the Americans ever really want a massive crisis like that in Europe, but especially not now. And I don't think this president is keen on that crisis either. So the Americans can, and I believe eventually will act as a force for restraint too. But it's very alarming, nonetheless, that we are at this point now. And the fact that things have got so bad is a terrible thing in itself, given that we're talking about a world with nuclear weapons and potential war between Europe and Russia and the West and Russia. Hopefully, if we do get through this, which I still believe we will, then we will finally go back and think it through and realize never again. We must never have this kind of situation again. And wiser heads will prevail, and we will work towards a genuine new security system in Europe, which will indeed be just and stable, but in a completely different way from the one that Keir Starmer was talking about.
May that vision come to pass. And that's one of the reasons why we'd like to have you on the show, because there are alternatives. It's not just, yeah, there's definitely going to be death and destruction. There are those out there who are like you, who argue for a saner approach in which everybody can have security and stability. And that is what we should all hope for. So thank you very much for that positive note here at the end. I'd like to leave it in a good place.
Thank you very much, Daniel. And it's been a pleasure to be on this program. And can I just say, very quickly to our viewers, that people I do know in Britain, including important people, do listen to this show that Daniel does. So these words of reason that Daniel says, they are listened to by important people here in London.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. And also, as a reminder, as Gary's putting up on there, there's the Alexander Mercurius's website, or his YouTube channel there, where he's got his own stuff on top of the Duran as well. So definitely go back to him, because there's all kinds of great stuff to listen to there. Thank you very much, folks. And we'll see you this afternoon at, I believe, 2 o'clock. Gary, if I'm not mistaken, we have Larry Johnson, who's going to bring us the latest in what in the world is going on in the Middle East. And he's also going to talk a little bit about Russia, too. Do not miss that. 2 o'clock today, Larry Johnson Live. And one other show we got, I think it's at 3 o'clock. We're going to have a look at this one issue about the Middle East that really matters, and that is the oil issue. And the price of oil, again, was going down today because everybody's talking about that the strait's going to be open up soon and everything's going to be great. Gas is going to be back to $3 in no time at all. But as Art Berman, an energy infrastructure expert, is going to show, don't start getting too excited too quick, because there are some very practical limitations on the system, even if a deal is had in the near term, that's going to make it a little bit more difficult. We need to be sober-minded on what's real. Look at that today, 3 o'clock with Art Berman. We'll see you then on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive. Don't forget to tell your friends, the ones that love to listen to podcasts. Get them to add Daniel Davis Deep Dive to their podcast list. They need to know what you know. They can get it to where they already get their podcast. You just got to tell them.